Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, it's the middle of the week. You know what that means, Wednesday. It's the day with you're halfway going up and halfway coming down.
So you're... Camels have two humps, so couldn't hump days be Tuesday, Thursday?
It depends on what type of camel, but I prefer to just think of Alex the camel has one hump.
Hmm. Alex.
I don't know. Is that how the song goes? I think I just made that up. Oh, well.
The Geico camel is Alex?
I don't know. I have no idea. It was a song. It might have been Alice. I think it was Alice. Alice the camel has one hump. No. Just me.
I'm unsure of this whole Ohio background thing that you have.
All right. I don't think it's an Ohio thing, but anyway, if you sang that song, tweet us at Broadway Radio on Twitter and let us know that I didn't just make up a children's nursery rhyme in my head. All right, let's get to the news, James, before I make myself sound even weirder than I already do.
All right. A ton of stars join Jake Gyllenhaal and Annalee Ashford in Sunday in the Park concert.
Yeah, James, we already knew that the New York City Center concert performance of Sunday in the Park with George was going to be huge later this month. But yesterday, it got even huger as we found out that joining the previously announced Jake Gyllenhaal and Annalee Ashford, who just had a baby at the beginning of last month, congratulations, Annalee, and to her husband. In alphabetical order, these stars will be Brooks Ashmanskas, Philip Boykin, Max Chernin, Carmen Cusack, Gabriel Ebert, Claiborne Elder, Lisa Howard, Zachary Levi, Ruthie Ann Miles, Soleil Pfeiffer, Gabriella Pizzolo, Felicia freaking Rashad, Lauren Worsham, and there's still more. The concert production, which was originally slated as only a one-night gala, was later expanded to three nights from October 24th through 26th, and yesterday, a fourth performance, a Wednesday, October 26th matinee, was added as well. Funds raised by all four performances will go to allow City Center to make performing arts accessible to the widest possible audience by subsidizing affordable tickets throughout the year. We will have the full cast list as well as which parts they are playing in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. But to try to name all of them, it would take an entire 20-minute episode to give the background and the character descriptions of each of those major stars. James, New York City Center was not messing around with this casting. Like, pretty much everyone involved in this show is a name, either on Broadway or on TV or both. That almost makes it obviously impossible for this actual cast to transfer to Broadway like you and I have been hoping for. But man, that's going to be one hell of a show.
Oh, they could totally transfer it to Broadway. You don't think so?
No. Just try. Look, we know that. First off, there was a Sunday in the Park revival a few years ago. I don't know how, even with those stars, what kind of premium ticket prices would they have to pay just to pay the contracts for these people? These are huge names.
Well, absolutely. But if they make tickets, $1 million.
I mean, that's literally – I mean, it would have to be like Hamilton premium prices as the discount prices. Because, like, this is a huge cast. I mean, there's more, you know, I mean, that's huge. So if they do find a way, awesome. I don't think it's going to happen. But that's a great cast. I mean, you and I talked about Jake Gyllenhaal and Annalee Ashford was enough of stars to get us interested. But you throw in, you know, Carmen Cusack and Zachary Levi and Lisa Howard and Brooks Ashmanskas and Ruthie Ann Miles and, of course, Felicia Rashad. Felicia freaking Rashad.
Well, I was going to say that. And, you know, names above the title, it's hard to fit Felicia freaking Rashad across the name across the title. That's why she doesn't usually go by it.
Right. Actually, yes, she goes by her professional name. But in Lauren Worsham, I could not mention her. But it's a great cast. So congratulations to all those people that I am so totally not jealous of that got tickets to one of these four performances.
Robbie Rizal.
Yeah, damn it.
All right, next up, many Broadway shows go dark on Election Day. I was interested in this. I love to talk about this.
Yeah, with our National Day of Reckoning quickly approaching, 18 Broadway shows have announced that they will in fact go dark on Election Day, Tuesday, November 8th, to encourage their cast, crew, and audiences to go out and vote. Many of those shows have added Monday performances in place of the Tuesday show that they will be foregoing. We will have a full list of the shows going dark on Election Day in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. So if you are planning a trip up to New York and to see some shows that second week of November, definitely check that out. Make sure you schedule accordingly.
I'm going dark that week. You know that?
No. Oh, is that the week where you're going and you're going on a cruise or something?
No, no. I'm going to Hawaii. My sister's getting married.
Ah, that's right.
Hawaii. But we're voting and then getting on a plane. In fact, we had to move our flights around because we're like, oh my God, it's election day. So we're voting and getting on a plane.
Very well, good for you exercising your civic duty. I do think you probably could have gotten
absentee ballots
ahead of time. Does New York not do early voting?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of, but I could be mistaken on that. And I mentioned the whole absentee ballot thing to my wife, and she was very nervous about it. She wants to make sure that her vote counts.
Yeah, because a lot of times absentee ballots don't actually get counted unless there's a differential between the candidates that's close enough where the absentee votes could actually impact the outcome.
Depending upon the outcome, I might stay in Hawaii.
That's a very good point. Or maybe go somewhere else that is not a U.S. territory, state, or protectorate or something like that.
Well, Hawaii is so far away. Anyway.
That's true.
Next up, show and casting news.
Yeah, the first thing we have, well, first, we have a ton of shows that are extending, which is always good news. That always makes us excited. The first one is after 2 weeks of previews on Broadway, the Manhattan Theater Club has announced an extension of Simon Stevens' two-hander, Heisenberg. The show, which played off-Broadway last year, stars Mary Louise Parker and Dennis Arnett and is directed by Mark Brokaw. The play will officially open on Thursday, October 13th, and will now play through Sunday, December 11th. Speaking of extensions, yesterday, Ars Nova announced a final extension for their critically acclaimed production of Underground Railroad Game. This unique production was created by Jennifer Kidwell and Scott Shepherd with Philadelphia-based theater company Lightning Rod Special and directed by Taibbi Magar. The final block of tickets will go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and the production will now close on November 11th. We haven't talked a whole lot about this show, at least in terms of the plot, so I wanted to read the official show description, and it is: Good morning, America. Welcome to Hanover Middle School, where a pair of teachers are getting down and dirty with today's lesson. The nimble duo goes round after round on the mat of our nation's history, tackling race, sex, and power in this R-rated kaleidoscope of fearless comedy. James, I believe our friend Lindsay Behrens from Maximu, who was on This Week on Broadway on Sunday, really, really enjoyed the show, but she also said that it made her really, really uncomfortable. So I think that in terms of Ars Nova style off-Broadway theater, that's about as good of a recommendation as you can get. So if you're a listener and this interests you and you haven't seen it yet, get your tickets for this new block starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And yet another extension came through yesterday as Primary Stages extended Horton Foote's The Roads to Home, which officially opens today at the Cherry Lane Theater. We talked about the show on Monday's episode, so go check that out if you want more information. But it will now play through November 27th. And finally, James, something that you and I have talked about, our friend Patrick over the Theater People podcast dedicated some podcast time to it. So this shouldn't be necessarily news if you listen to the Theater People podcast. But yesterday it was made official that our friend Tony winner Daisy Egan would venture back to the show that made her the envy of every young performer a few decades ago when she plays Martha in a new production of the Lucy Simon and Marcia Norman musical, The Secret Garden. The show will be co-produced by Washington, D.C.'s Shakespeare Theater Company and Seattle's Fifth Avenue Theater. It will play November 15th through December 31st in Washington, D.C., and then in Seattle from April 14th through May 6th. Joining Daisy in the cast will be London star Michael Xavier as Archibald Craven in his U.S. theater debut, along with Tony nominee Josh Young as Dr. Neville Craven, and Bright Stars Lizzie Klemperer as Lucy. David Armstrong, the artistic director of Fifth Avenue Theater, will helm the show on both coasts. And James, I think we've probably both heard the same rumors. If it goes well, they're already talking about maybe starting some rumors and some discussions about bringing the show back to New York for a potential new life there as well.
I think only if Grumpy Cat is available.
Well, you've got to have Grumpy Cat play. Who would it play? Would it play the girl or to play the kid who's bound to
Colin?
His bed? I don't remember. Colin. I think Grumpy Cat would have to play Colin, right? Because Grumpy Cat would just sit there in the bed the whole time.
Although Archie is kind of grumpy throughout the beginning of the show.
Yeah, but they've got a big star for that already. But Lucy or Colin, I would have to go with Colin because he's bedridden and Grumpy Cat doesn't strike me as the most energetic actor. Mm. I can't believe we're talking about casting Grumpy Cat in Secret Garden. What have we come to, James?
Well, let's move on to the American Theater Wing announces its 2016 grants. Did you get one?
I did not. Did you?
I did not. Well, I haven't checked my email yet.
Okay. Well, there are some people that I'm a big fan of that have gotten this, so we'll get to that in a second. But yesterday, the American Theater Wing announced the 2016 recipients of their National Theater Company grants. The prestigious grants totaling $120,000 will be presented on Monday, October 17th at a private event. This year's seven initial support recipients, meaning this is the first time that they are getting support from the American Theater Wing, are American Blues Theater of Chicago, Illinois, Bedlam Theater of New York, New York, which has been doing that fantastic production of Sense and Sensibility in a gym, as well as Chance Theater in Anaheim, California, Classical Theater Company of Houston, Texas, Signet Theater Company of San Diego, South of Broadway Theater Company from Charleston, South Carolina, and Yellow Tree Theater of Osseo, Minnesota. For the first time, they are now giving second-time support grants to theater companies that have already received first-time grants between 2010 and 2015. Those theater companies are 16th Street Theater from Berwyn, Illinois, 1812 Productions of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Golden Thread Productions from San Francisco, Portland Playhouse from Portland, Oregon, and Synchronicity Theater from Atlanta, Georgia, a theater company that I visited many times in my time in Hotlanta. Each of those, whether they are first time or second time recipients, those grants are all $10,000 a piece and are distributed primarily for general operating support. James, since I am out here in the hinterlands, nearly every single production I see is from a not-for-profit theater, and a lot of those theaters heavily rely on grants like these. So it makes me incredibly happy for all of these theaters, especially Synchronicity in Atlanta, to see when they are rewarded for the great work that they do. And this money goes to make a big difference for a lot of theaters that get to make high quality art for people that aren't in and around the New York City area.
Yeah, this is awesome. And it happens that so many of the nonprofit theaters out there, this could make or break many, many nonprofits, even though we might think it's a $10,000 grant, $800 some odd a month, but that helps to keep the lights on.
Absolutely.
All right. Next up, Disney announces the release date for another live action musical remake.
Yeah, back in the spring of 2015, it was reported that Disney was looking into bringing its animated musical Mulan to the big screen in a live-action adaptation following the success of Maleficent and Cinderella, and especially looking forward to next year's Beauty and the Beast. Well, yesterday, Variety reported that the project has been fast-tracked by Disney and is now scheduled for a November 2nd, 2018 release. Let's get down to business, I guess. Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver will pen the script. They are the writing and producing team behind films like the new Planet of the Apes series, Jurassic World, and the upcoming sequels to James Cameron's Avatar. James, I'm kind of interested to see how much this and Beauty and the Beast actually maintain of their musical roots. The Jungle Book, which came out last year, only had like a little bit of the music from the original. I think all it had was Baloo singing a little bit of Bare Necessities, and that's it. So obviously the Jungle Book is a much different film from a much different era than Beauty and the Beast and Mulan. So I'm hoping Beauty and the Beast, with casting a bunch of musical theater people like Audra McDonald and Josh Gad, has a lot of the songs still in it, but we still haven't seen trailers for Beauty and the Beast. We haven't really heard much about what's going to be included and what's not. So I'm anxious, and I'm knocking on wood, that they include some of the songs from both of these films, because they really do have great scores.
Well, the Beauty and the Beast trailer, was it you that pointed out, or was somebody online that pointed out that the Beauty and the Beast live action trailer nearly identically copied the animated trailer?
Yeah, it had a lot of the same visuals of it as well, and I'm not 100% sure if it was, I just don't remember if it was like they've recut it to make it look like that, or if that's how it originally was. But it's definitely hewing very close to the visuals of the original. But I feel like I've seen a little bit that might have been from the song Gaston with Josh Gad playing Gaston's little buddy. So I'm hoping that some of those songs are in there, but we haven't seen a full Le Feu. Yep. We haven't seen a full trailer, so we don't really know exactly what's in there. And I went around looking today just to see if they'd talked a whole lot. They still credit Alan Menken as writing the music, but obviously there's going to be music in it, so I don't know how much of the songs are. So I'm assuming you don't go get Josh Gad and Audra McDonald if you're not going to let them sing, though.
Yeah, and I also think that Hell Hath No Fury, like a parent who brings their child to Beauty and the Beast and is expecting the songs and doesn't get them, that would be a PR disaster, like Disney didn't pay taxes or something like that.
Yeah, that's genius. Absolute genius.
All right, next up, details are released about the Hamilton documentary.
Yeah, familiar with that one? Following the world premiere of the new documentary Hamilton's America at the New York Film Festival last week, The Hollywood Reporter's Ashley Lee has a really good rundown of the film and the talkback that followed. And perhaps most importantly for all of you Hamil fans, she lists all of the songs that are featured in the documentary. As you probably remember, PBS shot multiple performances with most, if not all, of the original Broadway cast. She does caution that none of the songs are seen in full, but the film does include footage from 16 songs from the Broadway production and 3 from performances at the White House. We will obviously have that full list in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, but it definitely includes some of the biggies like Alexander Hamilton, My Shot, You'll Be Back with Jonathan Groff, Helpless, Guns and Chips, The Room Where It Happens, and many more. For those of us that didn't get tickets to the New York Film Festival, Hamilton's America airs on Friday, October 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on PBS. James, I think that's going to be a popular broadcast.
You will remind us, right, once that gets closer?
As long as I remember, I will remember to tell you.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. All right. So why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino on BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you for spending some of your Wednesday with us. What day is it?
It's hump day.
We'll be back and talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.